Thank you for listening to the Missio Dei Uptown podcast. We are a church committed to our neighborhood, seeking to love and serve our beautifully unique community as we join God as He makes all things new. To learn more about us, visit mduptown.com.
Once again, it's good to see y'all. Quick question. Who here enjoys the fall season? You guys are wrong. Spring is the best season. Winter? Who said winter? Oh, that's crazy. Amen. Fair. My apologies. But no, that's understandable, right? You know, the leaves are changing colors, apple orchards are opening up, pumpkin patches are opening up, and, you know, we get a top three holiday. It's number three, but it's top three, and that's Thanksgiving, right? And also, we don't feel like we have to take, top three. No, it's not two. Easter, Christmas, Resurrection Sunday, Christmas, Thanksgiving. Also, we don't feel like we got to take 20 showers a day. Summers get hot. But I can't speak for the rest of you. I'm pretty excited for Thanksgiving, though, you know. There's not too many things that can beat spending time with your family, filling up on mac and cheese and sweet potato pie, right? Who's eating too much on Thanksgiving? Oh, yeah, it's not fun. Stomach hurt, looking at more food, makes you feel sick. You try to get that button, it don't help, it just makes it worse. Who here has, like, fasted all day for Thanksgiving? Yeah, it's okay. You ain't got to be shy about it. I do that, too. That's why I found out I like greens. I couldn't stand them until then. They're still a little bitter, but they suffice with a little hot sauce, right? So, all jokes aside, the Bible speaks on the truth relatively identical to this. Our meditative scripture, right? Proverbs 27:7. One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet, right? And that's a physical truth, but I want to dive into that a little more before we actually start touching all the way through in the Word of God, right? There's a deeper meaning. If I fill myself up with any of the myriad of the desires of the world, I will not care to fill myself up with God, right? On the other hand, if I fill myself up with the things of God, I won't have a desire to fill myself up on the things of the world. And at the same token, if I allow myself to not be filled up by anything, I can go to anything because I'll desire anything. Does that make sense? And like honey, the Word of God has its benefits. The presence of God has its benefits. However, it's not just physical. You know, honey is natural sweetener, antioxidant, but the Word of God is life-changing, yo. Like, I'm a living testimony. We're living testimonies. It's life-changing, you know what I'm saying? And to be starved is dangerous. Truly. It is truly dangerous to be starved and not to be filled. And I know what that's like. I find myself trying to find fulfillment in people. I find myself trying to find fulfillment in substances. And when I, through my own strength, was like, I'm not going to do this anymore, I got it. I did it. Praise God, I did it. But I was still empty. And it just filled right back up. And it was worse. Significantly worse. Right? And, hey, I'd be surprised if the Bible didn't talk about that, you know? And that's Matthew 12, 43 through 45, right? You know, you cast out an evil spirit, it finds the house clean, in order, but empty. It's bringing back seven spirits more wicked than the last. Key part is empty. If you change something about your life, amen. But don't be empty. Fill yourself with something, right? And that's the key. Once I fill myself with Jesus, couldn't tell me nothing. Unless it was about Jesus, of course, right? So what I want to do today is just kind of talk about what it's like not being filled, how to fill yourself, but then also how the brain works with that. Because we are still physical beings, right? So if we can learn how to work this meat suit that our spirit is in, it'll work a little better, right? So, us as human beings, we have this neurotransmitter, this chemical messenger, right? It's called dopamine. Now, dopamine's purpose in the brain is linked to pleasure, motivation, reinforcement, memory, and attention spans. In other words, it's the thing that makes you feel good for doing the things that you want to do, right? Dopamine can be looked at as like, I want to say like the filter. Yeah, it can be looked at as like the filter for the things that you allow into your body spiritually or allow into your soul spiritually, right? When we allow ourselves the opportunity of getting into God's word and resting in the presence of the Lord, our dopamine receptors fire away telling us, hey, like this is wonderful. We should keep doing it. On the other hand, let me lay in bed all day doom scrolling for 2-3 hours, or let me binge watch 2-3 seasons of Arcane, and it's not a, my dopamine receptors are gonna say the same thing. Hey, let's keep binge watching, let's keep doom scrolling. Let's not be productive, right? So, if we are in the camp of those whose brains are wired to the world or wired to the things of the world, then we must starve ourselves. We must fast. And after we fast and after our stomach is clear, our spiritual stomach is clear, we must then fill ourselves up with God, right? Now, practically speaking, this looks like a dopamine detox. Who's heard of a dopamine detox? Amen. Amen. Quite a few of you. For those that don't know, a dopamine detox in this context would practically just be removing anything that takes you away from the presence of the Lord so that you can focus on the presence of the Lord, right? However, it would be foolish of me to not once again emphasize, do not just take away something and not fill yourself back up. I didn't realize how many times I wrote this down, but it's so important, truly. Because if I say, okay, I have homework to do, I'm not gonna play Minecraft. I'm not gonna play Minecraft. I had to tell myself this, I promise you, you can ask Soli. But then I take that time away and I just send TikToks to Sydney, I wasted my time. Like real life, I wasted my time. I could have just played Minecraft, right? Now, if I take that time and I actually do my homework, I'm being productive. If I don't have homework and I take that time and I get into the Word of God, I'm being productive. If I worship, right, whether I'm with myself or I'm with my guys, I'm being productive. If we have theological conversations that are building us up, sharpening each other, I'm being productive, right? It's time allotment. That's the one thing that we have that we can't get more of, and it's the one thing that isn't ours. So we have to be very careful and intentional with how we use it. You feel me? Now, oh Lord, I lost myself. It's all good. It don't matter. Nonetheless, these things can be done through willpower, I will admit, but trust and believe it works significantly smoother and significantly easier when you allow God to steer the ship and you just stay along for the ride. You're going to go through a couple waves. It'll be a little scary, but nonetheless, it's a lot more satisfying, right? Oh, I really lost myself. Please take time. Hey, yo, y'all all right, man. Y'all all right. Nonetheless, if you do that all through your willpower, God bless you, right? I pray that God uses you wonderfully, and I pray that he continues to bless you as you do that. But to those that don't, it's okay. It's okay if you can't do it straight through willpower. You having a desire is enough, right? Don't compare your ability to get in God's word to somebody else's. Don't compare where you're at to somebody else. Comparison is the thief of joy. That's a freebie, right? That's a freebie. Comparison is the thief of joy, right? Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So don't worry if you can only get into a certain amount of Bible at a time, right? It's muscles. If y'all have gone to the gym, you have to take time to lift heavier weight. It's the same thing spiritually. I won't expect you, if you've never sat down and read the Bible, to read several chapters a day. If you start with a verse, you start with a verse. Just be consistent, right? If someone else can get up at 6 in the morning and worship and study for hours on end, God bless them. And God bless you, right? But if that's not you, that's not you, yo. Straight up. Don't compare yourself. Don't worry about other people. The Apostle Luke also writes of this teaching in Luke chapter 6, verse 21. If you know, y'all want some cross-referencing and some more of Jesus, right? And also, in the 25th verse of that, he says, "Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." Right? Now, with that being said, I want to circle back to the idea of being filled by things like entertainment, you know, like binge-watching TV or playing Minecraft. And I want to talk about this relatively new ailment that's been affecting a lot of people, especially people in my generation, right? It's called post-series depression. No, I'm so serious. That's a real thing. PSD. It's a real thing, and I spent way more time than I intended to looking at the psychology behind it and the side effects. In short, it occurs because the dopamine receptors in our brain are firing off from us, like, binge-watching a TV show, that when it's over, our brain's like, where's it at? Give me more. There's no more? Why is there no more? Now I'm depressed. And then you're sad, and you're empty, and you're void. You allowed yourself to get filled off of that TV show, and now you're hungry. You allowed yourself to laugh. Now you're mourning. Right? Now, of course, there's different ways that they say you can handle it. Don't binge watch the show, take breaks, find other hobbies. And that's all good, but it's not the same, right? And granted, they didn't have TVs in biblical times. But, you know, they had other things, right? Chariot races, maybe. I don't know. But the biblical truth still applies, right? You know, when you depend on temporary pleasures, such as food or entertainment, to bring you joy, you're going to be disappointed, right? It's only temporary. So what do we put stake in that gives us fulfillment? No, that's a real question. What do we put stake in that gives us eternal fulfillment? Amen. There you go. Yeah, somebody said Jesus. That's the right answer. So, for that answer, we're going to be looking at the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to John, specifically the 35th verse, but I want to give some context, right? So, for context, a loud crowd was following Jesus and his disciples. They went up the side of a mountain near the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus, seeing that crowd was coming near, asked Philip, one of his disciples, where they could get some bread to feed this crowd. Now, Philip was not worried about where they can get bread. He said, "Jesus, Rabbi, it's like 200 days of wages is not enough to feed all these people." He didn't ask you how much it was, right? He asked you where he can get it. Andrew, another disciple, mentioned how there was a little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So Jesus had the disciples sit everybody down so they could feed them. Now, in the word, it says there's about 5,000 men in that crowd. That's not counting women and children. So I can only imagine if, you know, you do the math, one wife, one child, I mean, that's 15,000 people. It's a lot of people to feed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But it's the same God that heals the blind and makes the lame walk and makes wine out of water. You know, what's a little fish and bread? Nothing to an infinite God. So, the Lord and the disciples distribute the food to everyone, and they ate until they've eaten their fill. And the disciples gather up the leftover fragments, about 12 baskets worth, one for each disciple, amen. And then Jesus withdrew from the crowd by himself and was just, you know, just casually walking on water. And the disciples seen him, right? You know, they were crossing over the sea to Capernaum, and they seen Jesus, and Jesus was like, "Hey, it's me." I was like, "Oh, thank God. Thought you were a ghost," right? Got in the boat, made to Capernaum. Now, Jesus says, Now Jesus says something to the crowd in verse 26 that sticks out in this text, right? Because the crowd came over to Jesus afterwards. They seen Jesus on the other side and they're like, oh, nope, that's that guy that gave us that fish. Let's go, right? And he said to them, they did not come seeking Jesus because of the miracle he performed, right? Which is kind of odd, because if I see somebody feed thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, I'm coming back because I'm trying to get seconds, right? But it's because they were filled from the loaves, but not the loaves of bread. But why only mention the loaves, right? If the context is correct and the Bible is inerrant, which it is, by the way, they had fish too. So why just mention the loaves? We'll figure that out. He also tells the crowd not to work for food that perishes, but to work for food that endures eternal life. That's also weird. You mentioned the bread that you fed us, but now you're saying not to worry about the bread. Okay. So what kind of food endures to eternal life? And how was the crowd supposed to get that? How are we supposed to get that? All right, so a few verses down the line, Jesus talks about how God rained down manna from heaven, which is supposed to be bread from heaven. Okay, go ahead and check Exodus if you've never heard of that story. All right, but the true bread of heaven is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Okay, so you give us bread, you tell us we're full off of the bread, then you tell us not to worry about the bread that we ate. Okay, so then what is this bread? And that's when we get to verse 45. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Now it makes sense. They were filled up from the bread, of course, the physical bread, but they ate that spiritual bread. The one who comes down from heaven, that is what filled them. And that's why they came back. The dopamine receptors in their brain were like, hey, that Jesus guy? He's pretty cool. Let's go see him again. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. They, in that moment, were filled with God, and it caused them to desire more. Similar to how eating Thanksgiving, right? It's just excited for the day after Thanksgiving. Because them leftovers hit better than it does the first time. Right? Or how we're binge watching a TV show and our eyes are half open and our voice is groggy. We're like, ah, it's just one more episode. I promise I'll go to sleep after one more. Right? The key difference is that goodness that God gives, that's eternal, yo. And that's what I want to stress to you guys. That goodness that God gives is eternal. Right? Of course, I'm not telling you to forsake every pleasure that you have in the world and become a monk and shave off all your hair and just only read the Bible. You do that? Cool. Yes. God bless you. I want to hear you preach. You know what I'm saying? I know you got some crazy stuff going on. But what I am saying is find ways to pull back from the world. It's a process. We call it sanctification. Salvation happens when you give your life to Christ. Sanctification is an ongoing process. You are constantly being shaped and molded into Christ. So allow that salvation process to take shape. And you, God bless you. And you can't allow that salvation process to take shape until you let go. You give it to God. And then by giving it to God, he takes it, he multiplies it, and then he fills you with it. And that's the beauty of it. Because once you're full, that honey of the world, that TV show, those people, those substances, they're bitter. They are truly bitter. You don't desire them anymore. So my hope for you today, tomorrow, the day after, and until the kingdom comes to earth from heaven, is that you find your way to get filled with Jesus a little more. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Missio Dei Uptown Podcast. We are a church committed to our neighborhood, seeking to love and serve our beautifully unique community as we join God as He makes all things new. To learn more about us, visit mduptown.com.